In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Let us commit ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God. There's not a service that we serve where we don't say that. Usually, a number of times. Let us commit ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God. So everything unites to Christ. Ourselves, we try to help one another also to go to Christ, not in a controlling way, but in a way that seeks to bring not just ourselves, but others. And our whole life to Christ. Whole life, not just 8:15 to 11:30 on Sunday. Not just during Great Lent. Not just at meal times for fasting, which begins tomorrow. But our whole life. But where does this disconnect occur? Why is it so hard to have this connection between pious acts and every other moment of our life? How do we not treat the Divine Liturgy as some quota to fill or the checklist point? Or fasting during Great Lent as another checklist point that we do, because this is what Orthodox Christians do. How do we commit ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God? And Christ our God, through the gospel reading that was yesterday and through today, tells us that fasting is part of that commitment, and prayer and philanthropic acts. And forgiveness. Today is also called Sunday of Forgiveness. And all of those things are part of our commitment to Christ, the commitment that we have to one another, to bring one another to Christ, and our whole life. If we, I sometimes like to think of fasting dietarily, you know, just based on what the calendar might say, whatever you're able to do. I compare it with musical scales. Musicians practice musical scales to understand a little bit about music. But if all they did was play musical scales all the time, that's not music. And the same thing with certain ascetical practices that we have. If we are good at fasting and observing some of the ingredient guidelines, but we aren't changing our mind in terms of how we treat people, how we allow God to work on our minds and our words, then it's sort of like just playing musical scales without applying it to music. Where is the whole life to Christ our God question? So we have those important reflections as we set forth on the spiritual contest. It's sometimes referred to as an athletic event, Great Lent. Not that we compete with one another, because that's not, that we all have the same goal, and God welcomes all of us, but it's something that we want to begin this season reflecting, allowing God to help us to examine ourselves, to tell the truth about what we do, what we can do better. so that we can enjoy the experience of His transformation in our lives. Forgiveness Sunday. And I know it comes after a very horrific event that is weighing heavily on us from last week. What a difficult thing. And what timing that we come right to Forgiveness Sunday to talk about this. What does forgiveness mean? Some might be angry that I talk about forgiveness of something that's so heinous, something so hideous. How can you talk about forgiveness? Why do you overlook the 17 persons who have lost their lives and the hundreds who have endured a loss or trauma? How do you talk about forgiveness? Well, forgiveness, it has been said in various places, is not the same as excusing. Excusing means that under these circumstances it's acceptable, we understand. We don't understand. It's never acceptable. It will never be okay. But when we talk about forgiveness, we talk about our relationship with God. Saint Porfirio said that if we get enraged or impassioned or indignant about someone else's sin, then the same demon that has fooled them has also fooled us. Where's the healing there? We know that Christ prayed for His own torturers even before they repented. Saint Stephen, the first martyr, also did the same. But there are people who today do the same thing. I was blessed to hear in person the father of a woman who died in the Oklahoma City bombing. And he said, my first reaction when I learned what happened was to wish the same thing for the one who did this to us. And he said, the morning that he was put to death, I felt no peace because it didn't change anything. An eye for an eye heals no one. Not the sinner, not the victim. Another man whose child was brutalized and murdered spoke about forgiveness. And when asked, how do you talk about forgiveness for an unimaginable thing like that? He says, if I didn't forgive the man, I'd be allowing him to kill me as well. But Christ gives us an ability to turn to Him and to know that He is bigger than all of that. And forgiveness, when we involve Christ, is a miracle. We can take two extremes. We can say, well, I'm going to pretend that this is not wrong. Or we can try to get even, the other extreme. But when we say we commit ourselves and one another, then there are ways to help each other. What can we do to help prevent evil? When Christ talks about turning the other cheek, it would not heal anyone if it meant inviting the same offense to be repeated. Turning the other cheek is turning a new approach, offering some kind of work that we can make this change. God can help us do that. To commit ourselves and one another there are ways to heal, but we can't say, well, sometimes the gospel just doesn't work. I think if we're saying that, then we have to say, well, I think my faith is not working. The gospel is always the gospel. And Christ gives us the ability to be transformed, to receive forgiveness for ourselves. And when we can receive that joy, then we can't wait for others to experience that with us. Who should you be asking forgiveness? Who should you be offering forgiveness? What a beautiful thing that would be. The New York Times had a special presentation about Rwanda, where there was a genocide, and they had photographs, portraits, photographic portraits of the perpetrators of hateful acts and their victims, whom they had asked for forgiveness and whom they started to experience reconciliation together. And you read amazing things in this. You can find it online. I don't know when it was, but he burned my house and killed my relatives. And then the other person's perspective. I used to see the person and I was so ashamed that I would run. And both people say, when I offered this person forgiveness, I felt the burden leave. And of course, he came to me, to my house, on his knees. Now I ask him for help. Those kinds of things. So unimaginably hideous acts were committed. And God sends His Holy Spirit and gives us the ability to change. So that's the kind of mindset that fasting and prayer should help us build. To see such a great transformation that God can do, and that we don't have just this precious time that we're together as the only time we commit ourselves and one another in our whole life to Christ, our God. But this participation in the sacramental life, the fasting and prayer, which Christ says are necessary to remove the demons. He makes us instrumental in His miracles. But we must have the faith and love. We ask God to continuously move our hearts, to help us to do what we're supposed to, and do whatever we can to bring healing and repentance in the world. But never to say sometimes the gospel just doesn't work. May He grant us a good protection from demonic influences. May he strengthen our faith. May our hearts also be open to him, so that we can say all the time, let us commit ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God, to whom belong all glory, honor, and worship with the Father and the Spirit, now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Kalite Sarakosti, we have a blessed Lent. Amen.